B-Pod Studios.
They're Boston's number one afternoon show.
The most powerful sports radio show in New England.
America's number one afternoon sports show.
Yeah, but we're the biggest.
And number one in your heart.
And I just came here to help your ratings.
Sorry, John. Thank you. Don't need it.
Felger Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
So a third down and eight for the Patriots. Backed up to the 10-yard line as Harry and Edelman split to the left. And Burkhead and Burkhead go right. White to the left of Hoyer in a 6-3 game. Burkhead drops into the backfield. He lines up off the right side of Hoyer, who now widens Bird to the right side of the field. Hoyer waiting on the snap. He takes it. The Chiefs with an extra rusher. Hoyer under pressure. He's hit from behind. The ball is loose, and the Chiefs have it with a fumble recovery across the 20-yard line, eventually brought down on the play. Kansas City comes away with a takeaway and another missed opportunity for the Patriots deep in Chiefs territory.
Inexcusable. I don't know which decision's worse. End of the first half. That's egregious, but
pressure comes up. You see Charlton on the edge. Gets up. Chiefs ball. Monster play.
Oh, and then the fumble. I knew it was over when he lost track of the timeouts and danced around out there. I think he was, that end of the second quarter thing was it. That was it. That's when I knew it was over. And that third quarter fumble, just insult to injury. You knew something bad was happening. You knew something bad was happening there. And it did. So back to your reaction. Felger Mass here from our Town Fair Tire Studios. Patriots going to Kansas City last night. And I think just about, I don't know, most players on the roster showed well, except the position they needed the most. And their quarterbacks crap down their pants and they lose. So your thoughts on that. Mike in Nashville, lead us off this hour. Go.
Yeah, I'm not really a Pats fan, but I got to hand it to them. They played well. I mean, yeah, the quarterback play is an issue, but the defense was solid. That's the only team came close to shutting Mahomes down. And what the heck was that call with the interception, fumble, sack?
So let me get to that in a little bit. The whole thing about their operation and their team and Belichick, like, I feel validated on that one. You know, if they had just gotten representative quarterback play, they could have won that ball game. They did not need Tom Brady to win that ball game, but they needed a representative quarterback. Now it's back on them for not being able to field a representative quarterback. And yeah. When I say representative, I don't mean good. I mean just be there.
And I don't even mind the narrative kicking around today. And some of my friends were texting it to me even last night as the game was playing out, and you knew they were going to end up losing. Like if they have Cam Newton, they very likely win that game last night. The way that the defense was playing, yeah, they probably do.
Oh, they have a much, much better chance for sure.
I mean, those mistakes, again, even despite those mistakes, both of them, the clock one, at the end of the half and then the fumble, they were still down 6-3 at that point. Still down 6-3.
And then Sidham comes in, hits Harry in the corner, and they're down less than a score and with ample opportunity to get off the field on that next drive. And that next drive just sort of went sideways. And so they were in it even up until then, even through all of Hoyer's jackassery, they were right there. And I think that says something about the team and the operation. So that still applies. They just have to get representative quarterback play, and they didn't get it last night. Tim and Nashua, go.
Michael, how does it get this far? You want to separate yourself from Brady. Yeah, that's fine. But 2 years go by, you could have got Lamar Jackson in the draft. You could have got even the kid from Oregon, you know, as a backup to Cam Newton. The preparation, I mean, to put Hoyer out there is basically not only saying, yeah, go ahead, Kansas City, do whatever you want. But, I mean, it's a step back for me. The decision to do that was just pitiful.
Okay. Feels like they've misevaluated, as I apparently have, Brian Hoyer, that he's not just that guy, that cardboard cutout veteran guy. Just run the effing offense and get off the field and get it to your field goal kicker. Just be that guy. When he says a kid from Oregon, does he mean?
No, he meant Marcus Mariota.
Yeah, I thought so. Mariota.
Yeah, but he also got close to $8 million guaranteed from the Vegas Raiders. He wanted that position on the cheap this year. And he's reaping what he sows.
Well, look, you get what you paid for then. But when you say he misevaluated Hoyer, to me it comes down to Stidham. It should be Stidham's job.
Well, but even if with Stidham here, Maz, they should have that veteran guy. That guy.
Right, but again, they I think believe that Stidham could have been, if not the guy, the backup.
No, I mean, they obviously...
He slipped to third.
Right, but somewhere in this transition, on that depth chart, should be the 30-something-year-old veteran quarterback who can get him out of the huddle,
sure,
hand the ball off, and get the ball safely to the kickers.
Sure.
Like, that's all. That there should be that guy making minimum on that, and Hoyer couldn't even do that last night. Like, that to me is what blows me away. That's all you needed last night.
I think they evaluated Hoyer properly. I think Hoyer just crapped his pants, which he has a tendency to do in big spots. Like, that's the thing. But I think that Hoyer is who he is. I'm just talking, if we're talking about the evaluation, like, the evaluation I question is the Stidham one. That's the one I look at and go, whoa. Like, what did you see there?
Chatham in Exeter. Go ahead, Chatham. Or Chapman.
Hey, hope you guys are doing well.
Doing good.
So I just wanted to bring up the point about Hoyer playing a big role in the Super Bowl versus the Rams, as far as studying the other quarterback, learning the cadence, the snap count. I see him getting a lot of hate today, and I just wanted to hear your guys' thoughts on the other things that he brings to the table.
Oh, yeah, no. He perfectly emulated the crap bag that is Jared Goff. Yeah. Perfect role for him. We need you to play the role of an awful quarterback for the week to get us prepared for this awful quarterback we're going to play.
No, I was going to say that Stidham's always good when he's playing someone else. It's when he's himself. I mean, Hoyer. It's when he plays himself that he sucks.
Get out of here with this. The bar was so low last night. No one was asking him to throw for 300 yards. No one was asking him to go toe-to-toe with Pat Mahomes. They were only asking him to get out of the huddle, hand the ball off, get it to your kickers. That's all, and it's a ball game. And who knows? It's no guarantee that you win it, because if Mahomes has the ball last, you know, who knows, right? But you're in the thing to the end. If he just hands the ball off, gets it to the kickers cleanly, it's all he had to do, and he couldn't do it. Sorry. That's freaking pathetic.
What a disaster.
Aldo and Ludlow. Go ahead, Aldo.
Hey, guys. I don't want to beat up on a dead horse here, Felger, but do yourselves a favor. At some point, go to Google and watch Stenham when he was with the Roaring Eagles. He could get you one or two games, like last night. Belichick was punching Mahomes in the face in the first half. Don't you think it was Joshua that finally said, we got to put the kid in?
No, I think it was after that strip sack fumble. Bill said, I can't do this to my team.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
I've seen enough.
I mean, remember that after the thing at the end of the half, you know, they had a 3-and-out to start the third quarter.
And then they drove right down the field.
And then they went down the field, and they would have been ahead had he, you know, sticking with Hoyer had he not fumbled. Like, really? So as bad as it was up to that point, they could have gone ahead or tied. I mean, that's the amazing part of the whole thing is every time he got to, it's like he touched the Chiefs' 10-yard line and he crapped himself. And just by touching the 10-yard line, it's like an electric 10-yard line. He touched it, electric shot, poop. There it is, right out on the field. Unbelievable.
Someone else who crapped himself last night was Tony Corrente. Let's get to that right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger Mass. Okay, when you call and say two things, three things, you're going to have to wait for me to reach for a pen.
Number one.
And then I'm going to have to write it down.
Because they know how to build winning relationships.
I, for one, am not smart enough to keep two or three things in my head.
Felger Mass.
So we prefer just a single thought.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Snap to Mahomes. A three-man rush. He drops back in the pocket. He's hit by Winovich. He'll be taken down. The ball's loose. It's caught by Calhoun. Calhoun has it for the Patriots. But Tony Corrente is going to rule Mahomes down.
No.
As Calhoun carries the football down the left sideline.
You can't roll that down on
Jace
that.
Jace Winovich had Mahomes wrapped up. The ball popped in the air. Caught by Calhoun. And Bill Belichick is irate along the far side. As Corrente blew the whistle, calling the play down, with Mahomes in the grasp of Winovich. Mahomes tried to throw it.
Oh, no, he's not down.
And as he loaded the ball in his right ear, Calhoun.
Not even close. You got hosed, man.
But they say that he was down. There was a whistle. They say Mahomes was in the grasp, whatever. And the play was dead before Calhoun even got his hands on it.
Well, I'll tell you right now, that's a fumble. And if not, it's an interception if you don't want to say it's a fumble. And I want to see if the whistle happened before that ball went to Calhoun. how prepared was Kansas City to punt that ball that fast?
Yeah.
By the way, and that's also coaching. I know that it's probably the wrong call. Patriots should have had that ball. That's also coaching on that end as well. This is, these are two of the most well-coached teams in the league.
All right, what do we make of that play? Did Belichick get beaten to the punch by Andy Reid with him getting that punt off before he could throw the red flag, even though Bill wasn't allowed to challenge it? It came out later, or that's what Corrente said. It was confusing at the time because I don't know if CBS was on it quite like they should have been. We didn't see the angle as well where they – I think they went to commercial saying it was incomplete, and we never saw the angle on the front side that Calhoun actually caught it. But what was your thoughts on that entire play?
So my initial thought was that the Patriots missed it and needed to challenge and didn't. And I, you know, if you ask me about what I believe, I think my gut was that. And the fact that now they couldn't challenge it anyway, as it turned out, but I think the Patriots missed it. And, you know, now as it turned out, it didn't matter.
Bill was too busy crying about the call.
I do.
Lost his place a little bit.
Yeah, because again, the Chiefs got the punt off really quick. They were out there and they kicked it away. So I do. I think he was pissed about it. And, you know, had he thrown the flag, it wouldn't have mattered. But I do. I think he whiffed on it. And as for the play, they totally get hosed. If that happened the other way around, I would sit there and I'd say, Brian Hoyer, what are you doing? Either throw the ball out of bounds or take the sack. What the hell are you doing? So I think they totally got porked on the play. No two ways about it.
It's two straight years, and I'm usually very anti, don't whine about the refs, but Patriots fans have a case for two straight years in Patriots-Chiefs games where the refs got in the way. They did last year with that N'Keal Harry play where they called him out of bounds, and he wasn't. Scored the touchdown, but that didn't count. And then that last night, like, that's Pat's ball. I still can't wrap my head around it today.
Okay, so absolutely horrible call. Horrible. And horrible, you know, just the whole in the grasp thing is just such an awful rule. Horrible call. Ticky-tack. You know, if I want to watch that sort of crap, I watch basketball. And, oh, by the way, I got a thought on Pat Mahomes coming up as well as it relates to basketball. But so, I mean, nothing to like about that in the grasp thing. It actually worked out for you. And I'll tell you why in a second. But Tony Corrente said, and again, he called in the grasp, which you can't challenge. Corrente said, I felt he was being controlled, meaning Mahomes was being controlled quite a bit prior to him actually going to the ground. And as he was being controlled, other players were coming at him. And so with those other players bearing down on him, a quarterback is considered in the grasp and his forward progress is considered stopped when I feel as though the player's safety is being jeopardized. And that was the case in this instance. So rather than allow him to get hit by a second and third player, we shut it down and considered it forward progress at that point. I think that's a cop-out. I think he's, oh, no, I was worried about his safety. I was worried about, you know, because he knows that's an initiative of the league and, you know, like that's just a firm place to be. No, this is about player safety. That's why he blew it dead. I just think he lost track of the play and lost sight of the play and got jittery and jumpy and blew the whistle too quick.
Oh, he definitely did. I don't think that safety had anything to do with it. And again, if Mahomes was that much under control, how did he get his arms free to throw the ball?
I mean,
or try to throw the ball?
And but after the fact, Corrente knows. Oh no, it's about player safety.
He whiffed on
bull
it.
Oh crap! You blow it. Blow it. Then he was asked by the pool reporter, "Could New England have challenged the play?" Corrente says no, because the play was shut down and stopped prior to the fumble occurring, or prior to him losing control of the football. There was no reviewable aspect of that play. So they couldn't have reviewed it, but Bill certainly could have thrown the thing out there, stopped the punt, and got the refs over there and just sort of stop. It would just stop. And it really ultimately wouldn't have amounted to anything.
See, I think that Bill thought that they, because the whistle to me on TV anyway didn't come until after Calhoun starts running with the ball. So I think Bill thought that the Patriots had possession and that they blew the play dead and they were going to get the ball at the spot instead of on the return.
Well, that's what Romo first, I think, initially said.
And I think in retrospect, you know, Bill blew it because he should have thrown, had he known that they weren't getting the ball, he'd have thrown the flag.
All right, let me tell you why I think it ultimately worked out for you. And that is, if that play was officiated properly and Calhoun even gets a return out of it, I don't know if he's going all the way because Kansas City stopped, but let's just say you get the ball in good field position. That play happened at the Kansas City 42, all right? So you get the ball at the Kansas City 42 or whatever, 35, whatever you want to call it, and there's just under 6 minutes left in the half. KC's probably going to get the ball back again. Kansas City's probably going to get the ball back again. They're going to be in that two-minute situation. Even though you played great defense that whole game, you have Pat Mahomes with the last shot before the buzzer. Back to the basketball analogy. The way it worked out for you is that you got the ball on the punch. You got the ball on your 35 and actually put together a nice time-consuming drive, got inside the Kansas City 10 with under a minute left, and set up your double score.
That's right.
Because you deferred to begin the game. You got the ball to start the third quarter.
It didn't cost them the game.
It didn't. But, I mean, only because you put together a nice drive there on that ensuing drive. You put together a nice ball control drive where even Hoyer made a few plays on that one. There was a 9-yard ball to Harry on 3rd and 6 to pick up that one. You also converted a 3rd and 5. I think that was a draw play to White. But Hoyer actually completed a few balls in there. They also hit White on that wide-open in-cut on the left side, and you got down there to the Kansas City 9 with 33 seconds left, and like I think you were able to control it well, where if you had won that challenge or got that, if that fumble was ruled properly, you get the ball there, and you know maybe you kick a field goal, but there's still time on the clock for Mahomes to go do something there in the two-minute drill. I don't know. I just think that ultimately that's how you wanted it to go out anyway. You wanted to run all the clock, have control of the ball for a double score at the end of the second quarter, and that's the way it worked out. So ultimately, I don't think that missed call netted out to you losing the game. The one thing you can't go back and sort of recreate is the momentum aspect to it. You know, you just turned the Kansas City over for, I think, the second straight possession, because that was the Watkins fumble, the possession before. It might have been. Either one before, two before. So, you know, you get a strip sack of Mahomes. Now you're up. Now there's momentum. And now you can't recreate. And so would you have rather had that or the long drive to end the second quarter and, you know, maintain, you know, I mean, I don't know. I just think the way that played out, though, it didn't ultimately hurt you. Kind of worked out the way you would have wanted it to.
Yeah. And like you said, they only lost 23 yards on the play, right? Because the punt went in the end zone and the Chiefs got a penalty on it, put the ball at the 35, as you said.
So when I say 42, that was the play that he was sacked on. So he was sacked for a 7-yard loss. They ultimately punted from their own 35. So they punted from their own 35 and you wound up with the ball at your 35. So if they had just, you know, let that fumble go, he was sacked at the 30. So you lost, you know, whatever, 30 yards.
Yeah. The only other variable that comes in too to me is that, had you had more time on the clock, you'd have kicked the field goal there. If you sort of play it out that way,
yes.
Right? Hoyer wouldn't have killed the whole half because it would have been more time on the clock. They probably don't burn the timeouts, and they get 3 points out of it, I think. Although that's a big presumption with the way their kicking has gone this year.
I have a massive problem with that call. It's a horrible call. You can't blow the whistle there. But I just don't think it affected you. The Mahomes flopping on the sidelines affected you. Okay, and Romo got this wrong too. In the first half, Devin McCourty came up to him and just sort of grabbed him as he was, you know, finishing his run, barely hit him, and Mahomes goes down, and you could hear someone on the broadcast go, "Oh, come on, man." And Romo thought that was Mahomes. Romo thought it was Mahomes saying that to McCourty. "Come on, man, why you hit me out of bounds?" It was McCourty. I could tell clearly, because we know McCourty's voice now after whatever, 12 years. It was McCourty saying to Mahomes, "Come on, man. Don't be playing that game. Don't be flopping for the flag."
I thought the exact same thing you did. I said that was McCourty saying, "Don't be a wuss bag and take a dive."
Exactly. It absolutely was. That was absolutely McCourty saying, "Come on, man. What are you going down for?" And then, but Mahomes, he's watching a lot of basketball and he's starting to do it, because that, the 15-yarder on Wise in the fourth quarter was a killer. And it was another gross, cheesy, wussy flop. Mahomes should be above that. That's a joke, him going down like that on the sidelines.
Well, oh, weak. Good, Murray.
Brady used to cry to the refs and then get a flag.
I mean, so this is the flip side.
These guys know. They know. They know they can just put their arms up to the ref or just be like, "Hey, you got to protect me. I'm one of the stars of the league," and they're always going to throw the flag. They do.
So if that were Brady, he gets the in the grasp call. He gets the, you know, the dive calls on the sidelines. That's the benefit of having one of those guys.
And again, because I generally hate bitching about the refs. They were bad calls. Still not the reason they lost. Still not the reason they lost. It contributed. I mean, the 15-yarder on Mahomes in particular, you know, kept the possession alive, the whole thing. But you get the ball at the 10-yard line twice at the 10-freaking-yard line and get no points both times?
That reason would be the jittery journeyman moron why they lost that game.
We continue with your thoughts on all of it after Murray's update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
By and large, we don't remember the last segment.
Felger and Mez.
I mean, I don't remember what I said last segment. I don't remember what I said 60 seconds ago.
Felger and Mez.
We don't remember who we are or what we said last week.
Yeah, but Felger, I'm the highlight of your show.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
What went into the decision to start Brian Hoyer over Stidham tonight? And did you consider going to Stidham earlier than we did?
Yeah, we did. We thought it was best. So that's what we did.
That was Belichick yesterday, post-game. Really, from a radio audio standpoint, not much value. With him with the double face wrap. And then when I watched, just for a quick second, I watched the Zoom. Was he also behind a plexiglass?
Yeah, I think so.
You know, I mean, yeah. It felt like he was even behind something more. So, real quick on that. Shaughnessy put in his column that Bill was actually on the COVID plane.
Yeah.
So, you know, he is an older gentleman. I don't know if he's technically obese. Those national BMI percentages are a little outdated.
Oh, if you go by those, he's obese.
So he's,
I mean, hell, so am I.
Right? Like, so, I mean, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah, no question. Those things are like, you know,
back when
low.
We were,
standards are low.
Little people, they got to adjust those.
Go big time.
But anyway, so Bill's in a higher risk category. He was on the COVID plane, so does that explain why he's all wrapped up there? He had the double wrap.
Yeah, so that, go ahead, Murray.
No, it might have been that, or he was just, I don't know, going for a Bane effect, maybe.
Well, no, so that's what I thought of, Murray. I thought of you when he, you know, especially in the poll.
You think Hoyer is your ally. You merely adopted the suck quarterback. I started him. I was molded by it.
Especially in the postgame with the double wrap behind the plexiglass.
Seemed a bit much, but that would make sense.
We're going to do what's best for the football team.
I did. I thought Bane. I thought Murray's Bane.
It would make sense, though, that if he was on the COVID plane, may as well try to take as many precautions as possible.
So when I saw him all covered up in the postgame, I went, oh, what an a-hole. Like, what a classic Bill move. Like, Bill's, you know, I thought it was like and I'm just giving you what my gut reaction was. Like, oh, he's giving a finger to the league.
See, I don't think he's thumbing the nose at the COVID stuff.
No, you're probably right.
I think he's pretty tight about it, actually.
Yeah, you're probably right. Except, I mean, I'm just telling you what my instinct was at that moment. I went, oh, God, look at this. He doesn't want to deal with the reporters. He's got two masks on behind a window. Like, he's like, they might as well tell everyone to F off. Like, screw you. I'm not answering your stupid questions.
So I didn't feel that was it. I feel he takes the COVID thing seriously.
Way more seriously than Andy Reid with that, you know, plexiglass buffet thing that he's got on his hat.
The welder?
That has a million holes in it anyway, and the big space underneath. Like, you're not protecting anybody by wearing that damn thing. Who are you fooling?
Bill is Bane. Give me one more.
I didn't see the light until I was already a man. By then, it was nothing to me but blinding. How many years have I been cheating everyone? 20 plus.
All right, back to your phones, back to the carnage. Go ahead. I'm Mary in Manchester. She's a friend. She'll go easy. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Mike. So we've talked about the importance of football IQ on your show many times because I think at that position it's important to have some smarts. But I'm sorry. I mean, Hoyer just doesn't have it. It was inexcusable for him to take the sack. And, you know, with respect to Stidham, I agree with Maz. I mean, I didn't see anything great from him either. So, you know, it makes me think that they should have kept Brady and extended him the second year that he wanted, because Stidham's definitely not ready this year, and I don't know that he'd be ready next year.
So the Brady thing separate. I still think it was time. I still think the team overall is in better shape. You know, FYI, they played that Kansas City team last year at home, and the score was 23-16?
Correct.
This one was 26-10. I mean, so... the quarterback play was atrocious, but I still think the team overall is in better shape, is playing well, feels more healthy and functional to me. When I say healthy, mentally healthy, like, you know, I feel like they're in a better place now than they were at the end of last year. The miss was just all they needed was, competent quarterback play, competent game manager quarterback play. Just a veteran to count to three and get the ball to the kickers and not put it on the ground. That's all they needed, and they couldn't get that from Hoyer last night. And that's a fail. That's a fail thinking that Hoyer could do it on their part, on my part. And that's a fail on Hoyer, not being able just to take the simple, smart play, you stiff. Like, that's a big miss. But if we're talking about overall, I still think the team's better off with Brady. I do.
Well, look, they had to turn the corner. I mean, to turn the page. Like, that thing was, there was no way that was going to go on forever. Where I'm sort of, you know, a little demoralized is the wrong word. But pessimistic now is about the long-term quarterback thing. I don't know how you can feel good about it. I thought when they made the decision on Brady that they were going somewhere with Stidham.
And can I backtrack? They're better off with Brady in the state that he was the last couple of years.
Right,
you know, 1 foot out the door, Brady. If Brady still liked it here and still liked Bill, they'd be in business.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah,
they'd be in real business.
People can't forget that. He didn't want to be here anymore. He didn't think he was going to be treated the way he wanted to be treated, so they had to go their separate ways.
And it started to affect his play
and
the team. But if it was the, you know, the
buy-in Brady,
yes,
actually, you know.
Oh, my God. You know, again, with what looks like improving young defense and a team that's sort of re-engaged. But, see, I think part of the re-engagement is that Brady's gone. And, like, they've been able to turn the page and sort of start over. So, again, all they needed last night, Newton's different. You know, Cam Newton's got a ceiling and talent, and they can, you know, still do something with him. But short of him, just last night, all they needed was someone to get the ball to the kickers, and they couldn't do it.
What a disaster.
Oh, my God, it was
really?
So bad.
What a disaster.
Curtis in Worcester. Go ahead, Curtis.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Hey, two-part question for you. I wanted to know why they stopped running Harris towards the start of the third quarter end of it. And then as far as the second part, Edelman, he's got a lot more drops than I've noticed.
Your phone's not good enough to keep you on. I thought they were running Harris all game. What do you mean, why'd they stop? They were running him all game. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I didn't have any, I didn't feel like they got away from Harris there. I don't know what he's talking about.
I wish they did more because I thought Burkhead looked better anyway. I think that's what he might be talking about.
Meaning, well, I mean, I don't know what he meant. You thought they should have given it more to Burkhead than Harris?
I think Burkhead is their best running back. Yeah, I do.
Burkhead's played the best.
Yeah, he has. Harris was fine. And when Stidham came in, they handed it off twice, and he broke off his two longest runs of the game.
Yeah, that's when they seemed to wake up a little. He woke up.
If you put a Sony Michel jersey on Damian Harris last night, I don't think you really would have noticed the difference. He kind of looked like the same dude.
Which was said and has been said about most running backs. Harris was just another running back to me last night. Not bad. Not great. I thought they threw a little bit. I thought they should have run a little bit more than they even did. You know, there was some was it the first drive of the third quarter, second and four, and they threw? It's like they had a couple of those where I thought they just could have kept running it, and you'll almost never hear me say that, but that they threw it a little bit too much with Brian Hoyer. On Edelman, he was not right last night.
No, I felt this way at the end of last year, and there hasn't been a whole hell of a lot to change my mind, although he had a terrific game against Seattle. Even then, he had a drop or two in that game. So this is, I love the guys compete historically. I think we're getting close to the end. We're getting close to the end. He looks cashed, or emotionally he's not invested. That once he saw the clown show that was Brian Hoyer, he said, well, forget this. You know, well, we got jokes at quarterback. Like, who the hell's going to get me the ball without Cam Newton here? So I hope it's that. On some level, because if it's the other thing, he's toast.
Pro Football Reference tweeted this last night. Julian Edelman has dropped 24 targets in his last 26 regular and postseason games. Like, it's maybe the cumulative effect of how many games he's played.
This is what happened to Welker.
Last night was glaring, too. Even when he caught the ball, he went down. You know, he gave himself up on a couple plays.
Oh, yeah,
he didn't even want to subject himself to a hit. So there's that. We continue with your thoughts in a long commercial-free segment right after this.
Sports, Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911.
Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
You can listen to Felger and Mass on your phone with the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
Frankly, it's what we deserve. We're a nation of idiots.
Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Yeah, it's disappointing. I mean, you never want to get taken out of the game. But, you know, coach made a decision. I understand, you know, just two bad decisions down in the red area really cost us points. So it's frustrating. It's disappointing. You know, I got to do a better job.
That's Brian Hoyer after the game last night. I still can't believe it. Brett and Witt, that it was that bad, that pathetic, that he just couldn't get the ball to the kickers. Can't believe it. Brett and Whitman, but back to your reaction. Go ahead, Brett.
How you guys doing today?
Good.
Good. So I just wanted to call today and talk about Stidham, and I feel kind of bad for the guy because I feel like he has not had a fair opportunity within the system. I mean, we can talk about everyone in the NFL, the young quarterbacks with all the weapons they have to throw to, like Josh Allen, Deshaun Watson, etc. We have not surrounded Stidham with anything. So for you guys to say that he sucks, it's because you've only seen him based off of two games he's come in and he hasn't started either one. So I feel like as a fan, it's hard to watch these games and be like, oh, I want to root for Stidham because he has nothing to throw to. And it's just so frustrating as a fan of this team.
Okay. Maz, what's your reaction to that?
So I think he's got a fair criticism about Stidham hasn't been given a game that is his. Okay, I think that's fair. But in the same breath, I would tell you, has he earned it?
This has nothing to do with what he's surrounded by. It's about him earning the trust of Belichick, which he has failed at miserably.
I mean, so that's what I come back to. Like, has he earned it?
But what's that about? What's that failed trust about? Is it off the field stuff?
Yeah, probably. Has to be.
Right, then he's got to get over it.
How about the whole thing, Murray? He had a bad camp.
Well, he being Belichick, you mean?
Yeah, I think Belichick's got to get over it because he has more upside than Hoyer.
Okay, but Stidham lost their trust before camp because they went out and signed Cam Newton.
Right.
So I don't think, to me, Stidham gets what he deserves. He wasn't doing
it. But after last night, I think you got to try to suck it up like he probably should have in Super Bowl 52 when he realized he's getting gouged by the Eagles. But no, his pride was too much, and he had to keep Malcolm Butler on the bench. With this one, he should also, you know, suck it up and put Jared Stidham out in the field on Sunday if Cam Newton can't be cleared.
So, Maz, if Cam Newton can't be cleared, who should start next Sunday?
Hoyer. And it pains me to say that, but again, Hoyer. Hoyer should start. Stidham hasn't, look, again, as you said, he lost Belichick's trust even before because they brought Newton in. Once he got on the field in camp, did he play well?
Apparently not. He couldn't even stay healthy in a non-contact jersey.
I mean, all I kept reading was that he was throwing one pick after the next. Then he came down with an injury. They sent him to the hospital. Tests were negative. Negative. So how hurt could he have been? Then he gets back out there and sucks again.
It's on him. The first step before you worry about your wee weapons is winning the job from your coach. Yeah, millennial. You just be handed it to him, right?
All right, no. And that's all a bad look. I'm with you on that. But, again, if Cam Newton's going to be out, there's more upside, and there's a player that can actually improve in Jared Stidham. Brian Hoyer sucks. His baseline is suck. He's always going to suck. And now he's going to cost you games. If you base it on a guy that he had before that was young, that he had upside with, we didn't really know anything about, Matt Castle sucked his first four starts, but weeks, whatever the hell, the end of the season, he cut his sacks in half. He didn't fumble the ball. He had more yards per attempt. He was pretty good towards the end of that season. You'd probably get the same thing with this coaching staff with Jared Stidham. Brian Hoyer, no, because he sucks.
Jesse in Montreal. Go ahead, Jesse.
Hey, thanks for taking the call. I was watching Belichick last night. He looks like it's getting to him that he doesn't have a franchise quarterback out there. I mean, when Andy Reid punted in that ball and he didn't challenge it, that's very un-Belichick-like. I thought those calls in the end zone as well, those play calls for Hoyer when he got down to the red zone, that was pretty not Patriot-like right there as well. I mean, I don't think they have a quarterback plan. Why didn't they draft a quarterback? I mean, they knew Stidham wasn't ready. They should have gotten somebody. They don't have a plan. What do you guys think?
I don't think that. So you're saying that he didn't throw the challenge flag or they called bad plays in the red zone because he doesn't have Tom Brady and it's getting to him?
No.
What are you, freaking soft? Bill doesn't think that one bit. He went to what Bill thinks. Bill thinks he's got a good team and he's in a better spot and has his team back without Tom Brady. And that if his dingleberry, idiot, 12-year jittery veteran quarterback could just get the ball to the kickers, he would have won last night. That's what Bill thinks.
If he was waving the white flag, that would have been a no-show last night. It was anything but. They had opportunities, plural, to win that game. And they probably would have if they didn't have a suck quarterback starting.
I don't think there's any question. Like, really, again, after the play at the end of the half, they got down there again and had a chance to go ahead and get strip sacked. What a jackass. How many times can you make the same mistake?
Stan in Medfield. Hi, Stan.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Now, are you serious? You want to start freaking Hoyer again?
Like, yep.
There's book smarts and there's street smarts. He's the book smarts guy. He's like the kid you went to high school with that sits in the corner, reads books, and picks his nose all day and eats it.
Okay.
He's not a good player. He's not a good quarterback.
What's Stidham?
But anyways, I mean, you got give him one more opportunity, right? And we'll see what he can do against Denver. I don't think Denver's a shoo-in at all. I mean, I think people are...
Shoo-in. It's a shoo-in.
If they win that game, it's going to be because of their defense, not because of their offense.
It'll be both. You can quarterback them, and they're going to win this week, Stan.
So let's be serious. Like, at the end of the day, where we stood at the beginning of the season or where the Pats stood at the beginning of the season, nobody wanted Cam Newton on the team, or a majority didn't. Now, we should all be pretty happy that we have him. That running game with him is the best thing that the Patriots offense has going for him, because Edelman can't catch a pass, two, three times a game. He comes up short.
So what did they run for last night? Was it a 180?
I thought it was like 150-something.
It was
it was 185. You're right.
185.
5.3 a carry.
So how did they manage to run for 185 yards without the threat of Cam Newton? Because they're good to become a good running team. I don't think you need Cam Newton to run the ball. It helps. I mean, certainly on paper, this thing about the extra defender and that, like, I get it. But I you don't need Cam Newton to be a good running team. So, like, I'm not putting that on Cam Newton. Cam Newton's a better quarterback than these guys. So I guess they're lucky in that regard. What bothers me the most is that Hoyer should be the book smart guy.
Right.
I like the book smart guy. That's what I thought he was, the book smart guy. Can't really play. I knew that. But I thought, get you into the right play, get you out of the bad play, doesn't put the ball on the ground, can count to three, and will, at the worst, throw the ball out of bounds and get the ball to your kicker, because that's what he's there for. So that's what I want. That's what I need. That's what I thought he was. And if that's just your quarterback, never mind Cam Newton, who has a higher ceiling and his talent. But if you just give me that guy, the book smart guy who does what I just said, you win the division. That's what I think. And I thought Hoyer was that guy. Boy, was I wrong last night on that.
Okay, so again, but now the question becomes, if we're looking at the next game, which guy's closer to that?
Hoyer still, I think. But so listen, I've admitted defeat on most of my Hoyer take. There's one little piece that I'm leaving out, and I'm still not going to concede on, and that is, I still think you could win the division with him, providing Buffalo doesn't go 13-3. Like, okay, but if you're talking the normal AFC East, 9-7, 10-6, I'm not giving up that Hoyer could be that guy. I'm not giving up until I see him do that against a bad team. If they start him this week and he does that again against, you know, Denver at home, then fine, I'm done. I'm officially out. Officially out, 100%. Right now, I'm about 75% of the way out. I'm not giving you the whole thing yet.
I'm telling you, I think Bill's going to play Hoyer. I do. Because I think Bill saw what many of us saw last night, which Stidham ain't ready. Stidham's not there.
Okay.
How do you think the team would feel if Hoyer was starting again? You don't think that they showed some kind of spark when they finally put Stidham in? I thought I did. I mean, they drove right down the field. And granted, he didn't look great towards the end. But that pick wasn't on him. That was on Edelman. The team responded when they put in Stidham. They bring Hoyer out again, reap what you sow. You'll lose it. You'll lose to Denver. He'll screw it up again.
Yeah. I don't know. I think they're porked either way, if you want to know the truth. But I'll take the lesser of two evils, which is Hoyer.
Oh, look, I'm happy to debate this all week. Happy, happy, happy. I think Newton's going to be back. I think he's going to be back on Thursday, and, you know, he's going to be back, and it's going to be moot. But we can debate it in the meantime. Here's Murray's 90-second update. There are no commercials, and we're right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.